Good morning, Harmony. Why don't you rise in body and spirit and worship with us this morning? Let's keep the worship going.
The way he Speak. Is thy faithfulness morning?
unto me.
Amen. Well, this morning we begin a new summer series, as I had mentioned, and this is focusing on the theme, Trusting God, Faith and Hope Through Hardship. And over the coming weeks, we at Harmony are going to be richly blessed in receiving these important messages through insightful voices, a variety of insightful voices. And by the way, here's a gratitude shout-out to Melinda Hale. Yes. Not only for that beautiful song, as you're giving us, yes, but also for arranging the lineup of guest speakers. And while I'm away for the next couple of weeks, and I will be away for the next couple of weeks, I'm starting on a vacation to England and Scotland on Tuesday, yes. Our faith community is going to be just so blessed, in hearing thoughtful words that are shared by Beth Mueller next Sunday, July 14th, and then on July 21st, none other than Andrew Janey. And so I want to say thank you to Andrew and Beth in advance. So here we are today, and I have the joy in starting us off with this new series. And when pondering the instances of hardship that I've personally experienced in my own life, and holding on to the faith and hope in Jesus during difficult and challenging times, and also placing my absolute trust, and man, it has been a struggle at times, in the one who created me and knew me before I was born. In deep reflection, it became apparent to me that I should address a particular issue that has been part of my life, I would say, probably from the very get-go, and how I've dealt with this, and how God has helped me deal with it. Hence, the title of my sermon for this morning is the slide. The World Versus the Word, Being Single. Now, telling you straight up, it hasn't been easy for me in my life's journey and in my faith journey in being single, and that may hold true for some of you also here, which it could include being single due to loss, it could be of spouse, separation, divorce. And while I know some of you in the room are not single, you'll know individuals who are in your circle who are. And so I'm hoping that this message will also speak to you, but also I think for all of us, it's likely going to hit home for all of us in some form or fashion. So let's start off this morning's message with listening to what was written long ago by the Apostle Paul to a letter to the Corinthian church, and these are words that are part of the Word. I'll invite Kim Hillman to come forward and to read the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9 and 32 through 35. And what you're going to hear is from The Message, and this is a paraphrase of Paul's words.
Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me, a simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone, any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, the gift of the married life to others. I do, though, tell the unmarried and widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them, as it has been for me. But if they can't manage their desires and emotions, they should by all means go ahead and get married. The difficulties of marriage are preferable by far to a sexually tortured life as a single. I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you, not make things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. Amen.
Thank you, Kim, for sharing these verses with us today, and may God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. So I have been blessed with the gift of singleness. So says the Apostle Paul. For, quote, God gives the gift of single life to some and the gift of married life to others. One has this gift and one has the other. Well, hello, what if I don't want the gift I've been given and demand to be given the gift that I want? I mean, if God is out there handing gifts, shouldn't I get the one that I want? Isn't that how it works or should work? Yeah, not so much. And therein lies the lesson that we're going to get to this glorious morning. And I'm going to weave my way into that. Now, I have to tell you that being single, it has its pluses. It also has its minuses, like with just about anything in life. But how the world views singleness versus the Word, well, you know, that's a tad more complicated, and it can be irritating and heartbreaking and soul-crushing, especially when spiritual leaders and well-meaning family and friends use the Word of God in ways, intentionally or unintentionally, that cause deep hurt to be experienced by the person who is single, which can sadly lead them, the one cursed by singleness, to the lowly depths of despair, loneliness, and suffering. Now, I use this word cursed here because for those who are single, it may feel that way. That might be a feeling that you have, an emotion. But I want you to understand, I don't look at my own singleness, and I don't look at anyone's singleness as a curse. Now, granted, it may be an emotion that is coming up and being felt, but God is not punishing us from upon high just because, but they're in the heavenly realm, and he's not up there saying, oh, you know, I'm so bored today. What a boring day. Hey, you know what? Let's shake things up. Not an earthquake today. No, no, no. What I've decided to do, Michael, Gabriel, I'm going to make someone's life so miserable, I'm going to make them single. No, no, no. That's not what the divine creator is up there and around here doing. The Holy One is not cherry-picking someone just for misery. Nonetheless, here's why it's imperative that we unpack the meaning that is behind what Paul wrote and in its historical context. What all of this means, those of us who are single, and that's young, middle-aged, and older, as followers of the way of Jesus and being beloved children of our eternal Father, Mother, God. So here's a concise, very concise portion of my personal journey, what I've experienced along the way in being single. So here I am in my 20s. Friends are getting engaged. Friends are getting married. I mean, you know, it's beautiful weddings. Gorgeous weddings, and I'm truly happy for them. And, you know, it's just, they were also reflecting back their version of happy, happy. Wedded bliss, married life. Because, you see, they've met the one. They've met the one, the destined one. And, by the way, that's what I heard from church folks, that you're truly destined for one and only one. Well, for me, though, as my age started creeping forward and I was becoming not so happy, there was this ache, this deep ache of longing within me for my destined one, yearning for a wife, a spouse, a partner. And during this time, what was occurring were questions from those closest to me about my personhood, about my well-being, as though there was something defective within me. You may be able to relate, being on the receiving end of such things as, well, why aren't you married yet? All your friends are. Or, isn't it time you chose to settle down and give us some grandkids? Or, you know what your problem is? You're just too darn picky. Or this one, well, Mark, I truly don't understand. God didn't mean for you to be single. Wow. the mixed extension of sympathy on one hand and a slap in the face with disappointment on the other. Great! Oh, man, thank you, world, for making me feel such like a second-class citizen. Oh, and better yet, a second-class Christian. Rock on, Jesus, rock on. As in, they keep piling the rocks on my heart, Jesus, and I'm getting crushed here. And then the 20s roll into the 30s, and then they rolls into my 40s. And this is when I then hear, well, Mark, you're past that age of no return now. You're set in your ways, and there's no one going to want you. Welcome to your choice of bachelorhood. Oh, yeah, you know, that makes me feel a whole lot better. Man, FarmersOnly.com's not going to take my dating application. Thank you, world. It's just now me and Jesus, single dudes for life. Rock on, Jesus, rock on. By the way, I'm now at that age where people are actually confused that I'm not married, thinking I have or have been. On top of that, that I'm not a dad. Oh, I'm not joking. Mm-mm. They hear Pastor Mark, and then when I say I'm single, they go, it's sort of like that head cocks to the side of confusion, and they're trying to figure it out because, you know, I'm a pastor. And the perception is, aren't all pastors married? At least the male ones. At least once or twice, and, you know, maybe even three times for good measure. Because if you're not, and here we go again, well, what's wrong with you? You're not Catholic, you're Methodist, for heaven's sake. Yeah, if it were only that simple. Now, am I being real with you? You've just heard me poke fun at myself. But let me tell you, that's been through my pain. The pain of feeling less than, the pain of feeling as though I've been a disappointment to my family, to myself, to God. Feeling as though I had blown it, if only I had compromised. Feeling despair. And there have been moments in my time when, I was mad. I was extremely angry at God, because why in the world would God put me in this situation being single when I so desperately want to meet my destined one, or thinking I had, and yet the relationship, it just fell apart, feeling oh so lonely. And I gotta say, the temptations, Lord Jesus, the temptations placed before me certainly didn't make it any easier. Now, fortunately, I didn't have any issues in regards to pornography. However, I know that is something that singles go through, and even married ones. So how did I, as a Christian, get through it, come to grips with this? Well, there was a whole lot of prayer going on, and there were several come-to-Jesus meetings. And there was also a few moments in which I had to remind myself and get into the groove of steadfastly maturing into my intentionally faith-focused life. I'm going to say that again. Maturing into my intentionally faith-focused life. I started speaking with other single Christians who were level-headed, who were mature, to get their perspectives and their support, very importantly, their support. And in all of this, I was gaining an understanding, a much better understanding of who I am and who God has called me to be, that I am second class to no one, and certainly not second class in the eyes of God. There's no doubt that marriage is still regarded as the norm, and that is considered by the church and by faith communities as God's loving gift to humanity and the chief context in which our desire for intimacy is met. However, while we should indeed celebrate marriage, absolutely, and those who are married, which in turn reflects for us Christ and the church, it is not the ultimate end-all of end-alls. No. God is the ultimate. God is the one to be glorified, and marriage is not a God to be worshipped. In today's scripture reading, here's Paul writing to the church in Corinth as a single man, and he believed, this is really important, he truly believed the return of Jesus is just around the corner. It is imminent. It's happening. It could happen at any minute. And what he's saying is his time is so short that the earthly ties and physical things, they can't be allowed to interfere. Concentrate people fully on being ready for the coming of Jesus, because and Paul is not making a judgment. If you look at that, Paul is not making a judgment about those who are married and those who are not married, as though one is better than the other. But it's clear, very clear, Paul had a preference in this moment with his letter when he thinks about what minimizes anxiety and maximizes devotion to God. What he wants for those who are burning with the fire of sexual passion, who can't control themselves in the Corinthian world, and who can't manage their desires and emotions, to please go ahead and get married. Do this now. Now, why is this happening? Well, understand, Corinth was one of the, if not the, most immoral cities in Rome, right? And so here you've got, and in this situation of this commonality in within Corinth, it was well known that individuals had Corinthian girls or Corinthian companions. What that means is those are prostitutes, okay? And so Paul's perspective, so you take what Paul is saying and you're saying, you know, Jesus is coming soon, like any minute now. People, time's wasting. It is absolutely better for you to get married rather than be tempted and fall into sin, and because this is crisis time. This is crisis time, and this is a serious crisis of sexual tension on one hand in the land of the Gentiles. It is crashing headfirst into the coming of Jesus. And here's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried and not sexually tortured, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the Lord who's about to come. Right? All I want for you is to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Lord without a lot of distractions. That's the historical context. And that makes sense given Paul's headspace, right? And all that was going on at the time. But guess what? What Paul wrote remains applicable to us today. It actually does when it's put in its proper perspective, without being guilted by the world and by spiritual leaders and matchmaking gurus who provide false hope, false news, and false narratives. Can we be single and still be satisfied? Unquestionably. Just because you're married, just because you are not married, does it mean that you cannot experience love? The answer, no. Right? We don't have to apologize for being single. We do not have to be afraid and ashamed of being single. No. Mm-mm. But what we do have to do is face some choices. We have some choices to make. Because you see, coming from my own experience, something's going to be coming to knocking on the door of your heart. What's going to be knocking on the door of your heart is fear. Fear loves to come knocking on that door. Yes, indeed. And when it comes to the knocking, what fear does is it conjures up a few things that have to be dealt with, and that's where the choice-making comes, like comparison. Knock, knock, knock. Let's do some comparison. Oh, yeah, they have, she has, he has. Well, what's best met at the door when the fear is knocking? Faith. That's what needs to be met, right? Sharing the potent words from 1 John chapter 4, if any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us, and we remain in God. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. Yes, God is love. And those who remain in love with God and in God, and God remains in them, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because what does fear expect? Fear expects punishment. Saying that again, fear expects punishment. How interesting. And unlike fear, faith leads to contentment, whereas fear leads to panic and can lead us to some oh so many dark places where we can be led astray, where we can be anxiety ridden, being fed depression, right? Faith leads to patience, and faith leads to freedom. We are not oppressed. We are not oppressed. And we do not, in this instance, when faith is being met, we are not compromising our character, and we're not compromising our integrity. Now, it's easy to give up and have fear overwhelm us when we're in this struggle alone. Yet when we trust God, when we bring our troubles and ourselves to the non-judgmental, loving, supportive community of faith, here's how we get through these times of hardship, because we are stronger together with God in the lead. So to all you singles out there, and also I just want to say, anyone who says or believes that the single life is empty, no. They're gravely mistaken, because let me tell you, the single life is full of opportunity. It's full of the ability to bless others. Indeed, I have come to realize that singleness is a gift. My singleness is a gift to others. And I've come to realize that my singleness is a gift to the church to advance the kingdom of God. The calling on my life is far beyond my marital status. So to all you singles out there, very important. Treat where you are right now, in this moment, as a gift. As a gift. And as we further develop the capacity for relationships, let's make it about God's business. Make it about God. So participate. Participate in the life of harmony. In small groups, fun activities like Jason's helping lead, lunches and the like. And here's where we learn, and this is where our hearts and our minds are expanded. Get involved. Get involved in taking ownership of something that interests you at the church. For example, Loretta Martinez and Beth Mueller, they co-lead the prayer team, right? And then there's Beth co-leading with Jason Hecht, mixology theology. And these are opportunities that spoke to them. And it was an ask and you shall receive moment for them, as well as a gift for us at the church. Serve, because here's where a variety of opportunities of service are available to us throughout the year. So this is where we put our hands and our feet into action for a world that desperately needs our love. And you know, when you give away your love, guess what you get back? Love. And connect. In all of this, we are connecting. So let's not forget to connect with the divine and with Jesus. In our spiritual practices, that should include prayer and study. And for everyone, we're making it about God's business and our participation, our involvement, and our service, and our connection. Here's where we are being fed in building relationships with one another. And love fills our hearts. So with that, as I said earlier in my message, and I'm going to say it again just in a different way, whether we're married, whether we want to be married, whether we're content being single, our most important relationship is with whom? God. Yes, God. Our greatest purpose is to live a life that glorifies the Holy One, and our highest calling is to love others as God loves us. May it be so. Amen. Amen.
Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we do this last song?
goodness flows, there is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. Rising, rising.
God bless you.